If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube, 855-839-1210. Tony Bruno at 8:30 this morning. Cut sheet coming up, 7:45. Before we get to the cut sheet, we've got to get to Bob Casey this morning, and also got to give Gen Z a little bit of credit. I feel like I'm doing that a little bit too frequently these days, but I try to be fair. And a very interesting story about the Utes and their desire or their ability to work. Maybe that's in part due to the current state of the economy, especially if mom and dad are only, you know, capable of one full-time job, or maybe only one of the two parents can carve out a few hours each day for a side hustle and a second job. Gen Z reversing a decade-long decline in teen employment. We'll get to that story coming up in just a little bit. But let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:02. The great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning. This Wednesday morning, May 29, 63 degrees, sunny skies for now. We are sponsored in the news by Tropical Smoothie Cafe. So in the news this morning, we have a group of teenagers turned carjackers responsible, according to police, for a deadly accident. As police say now, they have those teens in custody. That's what's going on this morning as they continue to investigate. They say it happened last night, Front Street, Hunting Park Ave, 8 o'clock last night. A car full of teenagers, they are all in custody, including that 17-year-old driver, boys and girls. It was a stolen vehicle, fatally striking a man, only identified as a man in his 40s, riding on his Harley-Davidson last night on what was a beautiful evening for a motorcycle ride. So we still don't have the ID of that driver. We just know, like I say, he's a man in his 40s, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. According to police, and they've reviewed the surveillance images on the scene as well, they say the fatal crash was captured by different surveillance images, whether you're talking about those doorbell cameras or whether surveillance cameras put up by the government. But after the collision, the Kia, you know, after running a red light, according to police, fatally striking this motorcycle driver, the Kia continues down Front Street. And until finally it stops, they pull over, and the teenagers run. They get out and they run off, but police were in hot pursuit and gave chase on foot and ran after them and arrested. They believe they have all of them. So ages 15 to 17. I don't have word on the charges that they're going to face. I mean, this was a horrible, you know, fatal collision, high speed situation as they just ran, blew a red light and struck and killed this man.
I would imagine at least vehicular homicide, right? Grand theft auto. I mean, all sorts of, these kids need to be hit with the absolute maximum, especially as a 17-year-old probably should be charged as an adult. I would assume anyway.
I'm just letting that silent moment go on because it's a tragic story, but we'll see what DA Larry Krasner does.
Yeah. Well, sadly, it matters these days what jurisdiction these awful tragedies occur in, and also what boxes you check.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yep.
We have a call for accountability when you talk about Utes gone wild. And that really is, we talked yesterday about from Philadelphia down the Jersey Shore. Philadelphia over the weekend with, 12-plus shootings did not make headlines internationally and nationally, but the Jersey Shore sure did, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And that was because we saw Wildwood, we saw what happened in Seaside Heights, which was a false alarm. It was really, Seaside Heights was weird in the sense that apparently a car had, you know, had a backfire situation and somebody freaks out and thinks it's a shooting. And you brought out SWAT members. In Wildwood, though, that state of emergency, shutting down the boardwalk for many hours. And then what happened in Ocean City with a teenage boy stabbed, not life-threatening injuries, but certainly a serious stabbing where he's was in serious but stable condition. A lot of parents, a lot of blowback. And now we have officials down the Jersey Shore, Wildwood, Ocean City, and many parents, many residents calling for somebody to do something. And what about those charges? So it reminded me of what you said, Nick Kale. Well, you would expect serious charges.
Mm-hmm.
So now that's exactly in Ocean City, and especially in Ocean City, but also Wildwood, officials saying, we're going to throw the book at these teenagers.
Good, good. We need to start getting back to that. But of all people, I saw a clip over the, I think it was late last week, going into the weekend. Judge Judy was on some sort of interview, and I think Judge Judy endorsed Nikki Haley to be president. So, yeah, I take that for whatever it's worth. But from a law perspective, she's another one of these law and order individuals, as most judges are. And she says we need to get back to just finding these prosecutors that have a passion for justice. And if they don't want to do that, and if these judges want to let people off lightly, I'm paraphrasing here, I think she basically said, go sell ice cream cones.
Well, in essence, though, in this case, you know, the judges, the police, even prosecutors say that they're handcuffed by those laws that changed in 2020 in New Jersey because officials led by Governor Phil Murphy said that there was unnecessary punishing of juveniles. And so the Murphy administration speaking out, talking about juvenile justice reform. And this is, they contend that these laws that they've put in place fairly recently during the pandemic, 2020, that they alleviate these issues of racial and socioeconomic outcomes in the criminal legal system. So it's juvenile justice reform, and that's why they have these laws. So right now, it's staying the way it is.
Okay.
And this is part of the problem. And even parents are complaining to say, even if their kids, so it used to be the cops, if they caught you doing anything, boom, you knew that they were going to take you in custody. And usually they called your parents and they worked something out. They're not even allowed to call your parents, especially if marijuana is involved. So it's drugs and alcohol. But it goes back to the parental rights, because many see this as, you know, Governor Phil Murphy and his fellow Democrats trying to come in between juveniles and parents.
Right. Right. And the government should not be in between, you know, mom and the son, or the dad and the daughter.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Yep. I agree.
And so, we're going to watch this very carefully because there's a lot of reaction to it, and we'll get more reaction throughout the day. President Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, they're going to be back in Philadelphia tonight. And this is really their reelection pitch specifically to African-American voters, which, as you know, was a key part of their 2020 winning coalition that they formed. And now that coalition is coming apart at the seams, if you will. So they're going to stop at Girard College, which is an independent boarding school in Philadelphia, predominantly African-American. And they're also going to visit a small business to speak to members of the Black Chamber of Commerce as well. So it's a big campaign stop. And they expect all summer long, we're going to see them back engaging with Black student organizations, community groups, faith leaders. Because remember, we talked about in the Bronx yesterday, or the Bronx last Thursday, where it really was African-American and Hispanic faith leaders and reverends who really put together that huge Trump rally.
It's also going to be interesting to see Pennsylvania moving forward here in the next 4 or 5 months, what the over-under will be on how many more times Biden and Harris will come here compared to how much money Donald Trump might start spending. MAGA Inc. has spent 80% of their ad money, as we mentioned yesterday, in Pennsylvania. But Trump and the Trump campaign have not opened up the war chest yet, so to speak. If Trump's not going to come to Pennsylvania more than one or two times in the next 4 months, at least start opening up the checkbook, so to speak, and cranking out those ads. Because what Joe's doing is not working. So if you start investing some more money into this state and a few more trips and a few more appearances, probably going to work in your favor, I would think, and I would hope.
And the Trump trial, we talked a lot about. Nick Hale started out the big take this morning talking about it. That 12-person jury in former President Donald Trump's criminal so-called hush money trial. It's really a bookkeeping trial. It's not about conspiracy. It's not about hush money. It's a bookkeeping trial. They begin deliberations today, moving them one step closer to deciding Trump's legal fate. And so a felony conviction of a former president, as well as the presumptive 2024 Republican nominee, obviously this is history in the making. It would be unprecedented. If convicted of the 34 felony counts, Trump could face up to 4 years behind bars. Just another story, because we talk a lot about the economy, about the electric grid, the White House announcing new actions to modernize America's electrical grid, paving the way for clean energy and fewer outages. So just a headline for you as the White House talks about the electrical grid. But we've got to talk about our sponsor today, because I don't know if you're going to love it or not, but Tropical Smoothie Cafe, how good does that sound? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, summer is their season, and they're kicking it off with a free 12-ounce Island Punch smoothie. Yum. For this National Flip-Flop Day, grab your flip-flops, but not at work, Nick Kale, and head to your local cafe today, May 29th, from 2 to 7 p.m. Terms and conditions do apply, and on this National Flip-Flop Day, in honor of Nick Kale and in honor of Tropical Smoothie Cafe, what a great day for a tropical smoothie. Lovely morning, beautiful sunrise this morning, clear sunny skies as we look at the forecast. However, by this evening, we could see some showers moving through on this Wednesday, May 29th. The high today, 75 degrees. Tomorrow for your Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 76 degrees. Saturday, well, June makes a delightful debut on Saturday. Partly sunny skies and much warmer, high of 80 degrees. And then Sunday, sun with some clouds, an afternoon shower is possible, mainly west of the city, with a high of 82 degrees. Enjoy the beautiful stretch of weather. As soon as we get through, maybe an isolated passing shower possible today, earlier in the day, but a beautiful Friday evening. This is Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. Speaking of flip-flops and sure weather, I want to read this email. Stocker got this email yesterday, and he forwarded it along to me. And this email comes from Rebecca. And she says, "Hey, Greg, was listening to the show where Nick said he would call off of work on Monday, July 22nd, since it's the day after the bike ride."
Yeah.
"And Dawn said, off the cuff, maybe you could find a place from which to air the show."
Yeah.
She says the following: "We have a restaurant in AC called Rife, R-Y-F-E, hopefully I'm getting that correct, rifeac.com is the website, a little plug there for her, located in Lower Chelsea, and she says it's close to the new Stockton. She says, we aren't open for breakfast, and I have no clue what airing a show off-site entails." Entails money. but you're more than welcome to air from our restaurant if it makes sense for you.
Mm.
"We just opened up a location in Moorestown Mall as well. Her nice. Husband John and I live in Moorestown and listen to the show every weekday." And she says that she is willing to offer up her location for the broadcast.
Cool.
If we decide to pursue that.
Nice.
I mean, you know, I don't know what that entails. That's above my pay grade, but, you know. If the suits are listening this morning and they want to, you know.
What's your theory again about why you can't come into work the next day? Because you
I'd be exhausted.
Well, it's not that I'm exhausted,
yeah.
And I wanted to, once I did it last year and accomplished it, I wanted to be on the air to brag about it, because everybody said I couldn't do it. And this year, what I realized is it's not the ride, it's not coming in the next day. The worst thing is when you're done and you're sweaty and you've got sunburn and your inside of your quads are starting to get, you know, as Dawn says, what's the word you use, Dawn?
Moist.
Well, yeah, a little irritated.
Chafed.
Chafed, yes.
Yeah.
That ride home from Atlantic City, when you're just disgusting, really stinks. And I just want to literally stay down the night in Atlantic City, go into a hotel, take a beautiful shower, and then just sit out at the beach or, you know, maybe play a little roulette or, you know, drink my face off or something like that. So if I...
That would be bad.
Well, that probably would be bad. Yes, I agree. but, you know, if, you know, she's willing to do us a solid and have us for a broadcast, I'd be down for that.
Well,
if
I mean...
the staff is.
Obviously, there's a lot that goes into that. So my people are going to have to talk to her people and we'll get back to them on this because, you know... Look, there's a very, very
it's
a very popular radio show, and we you know we can get a lot of people to that business.
Yes,
so
it comes with a price tag.
Yeah, thank you. Rebecca, it's lovely that you offered that, and thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Right,
maybe we just might take you up on it. By the way,
yeah,
I'm not opposed to it.
Are you now? Have you officially committed to doing the ride, or do we need to reach that dollar?
We need to reach $20,000.
All right, folks, we got to get this going again because we've kind of taken our foot off the gas, to speak.
Yep.
We haven't been pedaling as hard as we're supposed to as we approach the 1st of June, and I think we're at 5,400.
Yep.
Yeah. And we want to get to 20,000. So gregstockersucks.com if you'd like to donate and ride, or just donate and not ride, because I know some of you obviously can't do a 65-mile bike ride. But I will say this. If you physically are capable of doing it, but you think you're out of shape, I'm telling you right now, it is easier than you would expect.
And we are getting jerseys made up, by the way. So if you ride, if you do the bike ride with Kale and maybe us, you will get a bike jersey, a 1210 WPHD Kale and Company jersey. The David Gelman law offices will be featured on there as well.
Yep.
You will get that if you join the bike ride with us.
Indeed. All right, coming up next, the tip of the cap to Gen Z, but why are they doing what they are doing? Is it have anything to do with Biden inflation? We'll get to that when we come back. It's Kale and Company live here on a Wednesday morning. Morning Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The playlist today and all week long, courtesy of Brian Kester, King Shooter Supply in King of Prussia, as he donated $500 to the families behind the Badge Children's Foundation, as he will have control of the music throughout this week, perhaps even into Monday. Cut sheet coming up, 7:45 this morning, Tony Bruno at 8:30. Not too often that you talk about Bob Casey and Richard Dreyfuss in the same conversation, but we'll get to that in a little bit when it comes to women's sports and how Hooper might need to have a bigger boat, as he triggered a lot of people with comments about gender reassignment surgery. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I would like to give Gen Z a little bit of credit, as we do from time to time. Yeah, I gave them credit when we gave you the story from the Wall Street Journal about how they are ditching college in waves like never seen before for the trades. Very smart. Yeah, if you can go to school for 12 or 18 months, be debt-free, and make $80,000, $100,000 right out of the gate at 20 years old, it's a good way to get ahead in this life as the rest of us go to college and then walk out with $100,000 in debt. Not that that was my specific case, but a lot of people do walk out with massive, massive debt. As Gen Z is now reversing a decade-long decline in teen employment, the story courtesy of Axios, and they say why it matters. Well, working for pay can be a key rite of passage for teens as they grow up, but it's not nearly as common as it used to be. Quote, there is something lost when there are more young people who enter the workforce after college with no work experience, says Jean Twenge, a psychologist and author of the book Generations, saying, quote, when they learn those lessons about how important it is to show up on time and do a good job, and sometimes you have to listen to a boss, all of it builds conscientiousness for later in life. Now, I did not know that these numbers had dipped so significantly. In the 1980s, nearly two in every three kids between ages 16 to 19 were working or actively looking for work. But that number has steadily fallen with teens and the labor force and their participation rate, especially amongst millennials, which would be my category, in the 2000s. But Gen Z is starting to bring teen jobs back. The share of teens working or looking for work recently hit a 14-year high at 38%. And in the coming weeks, employers expected to add another 1.3 million in summer jobs for teens. That according to a teen and employment labor firm of Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. You know, I'm thinking back to when I was in the 16 to 19-year-old age group. I mean, that would have been as a sophomore, junior, senior in high school, and freshman in college. And, you know, going to high school and playing sports, if you've ever done it, takes up a lot of your day. And, Dawn, you can talk about that with the boys, David and Michael. But I had two jobs in that that time of my life. I was a busboy at Perkins Restaurant in Easton, Pennsylvania for about a year. And then I worked at Foot Locker when I was wrapping up high school and in college. And, you know, the boys, Dawn, David, and Michael, do they have time? Do they work in addition to school and all the athletic stuff? Or is that something they don't have the time to do? Oh, no. She went dark.
Michael does.
Michael does.
Michael has been a lifeguard. He actually has been a lifeguard for, what is it, since he was 15.
Okay.
I think that's when you can legally become a lifeguard and get certified.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a lifeguard at a local community center.
Yeah.
And so he also does, he works for the Police Athletic League.
Okay.
Does a lot of volunteering and works for them.
I love PAL.
For PAL. He does a lot, Abington PAL.
Yeah.
But for David, because he does, you know, he letters in three sports.
Just no time.
He does all of that. He's just consumed pretty much. Like I said yesterday, I mean, I think we got home like by 8 o'clock we got home.
That's unbelievable.
And he's at school right now.
Yeah.
So I do think that if your child is a student athlete, or like your little girls, they do competitive dance, that's athleticism to me. If they're in the school play, if they do speech and debate, which both of my kids did, any of that is a job. It teaches them that work ethic,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they have, and a lot of times in sports, depending on, Michael did crew, they, you know, you're getting to school sometimes 6:30 in the morning,
right?
Doing some sports before.
Right.
So that also teaches that work ethic, team, you know, being a team player,
mm-hmm.
sportsmanship, all of that. So whether it's a part-time job, I think the part-time jobs became tougher during the pandemic.
Sure.
That probably affected things.
Well, when the jobs report come out, though, then we can't sit there and say, well, look at all these jobs that Joe has created. Well, these are jobs that are just being brought back. They're part-time jobs that were, you know, zapped because of the pandemic. Yeah, I tell you this, I already can see what's going to happen with my daughters. Olivia is my wife. She's a workaholic. She is going to be, like, I can tell you right now, she's going to work for my mother-in-law's catering and concession business in the summer at 12 or 13 years old. She's only 9, but she's probably 2 years away from doing that in the summer. I guarantee it. And then she'll be one of these people that she has dance, she has the drama club, she has gymnastics school, and I'd be willing to bet she ends up getting a job in 9th or 10th grade, I don't know, at a grocery store or a Starbucks or whatever, you know, kids do these days. And she'll end up working 10-12 hours a week and do two shifts. Whereas is Mia, I'm going to have to, like, she's going to go kicking and screaming. I'm going to have to force her to get some sort of part-time job in high school, even if it's 1 4- or 6-hour shift a week, just so she can learn what it's like to, you know, understand the value of a dollar, you know, reporting to work on time, you know, everything that they talked about. And that's the big thing. I think more than anything, you know, it's work ethic, it's discipline, but it's also, you know, that commitment, that punctuality.
We start at 6 a.m.
You know, if you have to be there at 6 or if you have to be there at noon or whatever, you know, getting up and going and doing it. You know, like my mom was like, she never forced me to do it, but she told me if I wanted to have a cell phone or if I wanted gas in my 1993 Mercury Sable in the year 2000, that I needed to get a job. And I'm telling you, it was painful. I hated it. Like, I was a busboy at Perkins. I don't know as a kid that it gets any worse, especially if you don't want to work. Because I was tired, and I didn't do three sports. I only did one sport in high school. It was just football. So I had the time. I could do 15 or 20 hours a week. But, like, picking up, you know, plates with leftover food scraps on it, yeah, I'm not sure it gets, like, I guess maybe being, like, and shout out to all of our people that work in the trash industry. Short of being a busboy as a teenager, I think the only thing that would gross me out more is if I was a garbage man as an adult. I don't think I have I just couldn't do it. Like, it would just gross me out. I guess I would have to if that was the only job I could do to pay for my wife and kids. But my God, I was so agonized over, like, seeing somebody's leftover omelet on a plate.
I was a busboy too.
Were you really?
17 or 18. I won't name the place because they paid me under the table and it's still there. But yeah, like, I don't even think I was on the books there, but this great family owned this place that I kind of knew, and they're like, hey, do you want to be a busboy? It's not glamorous work, but it'll, you know, we'll pay you under the table and it's a decent wage. And I'm like, sure.
Little tips too?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
I always felt like when we talk about some of the restaurants that divvy up the tips between the busboys, the waitresses, the hosts, yeah, and maybe even people in the back in the kitchen. I don't know if any of the cooks get any of it. I always felt like the busboy always got the smallest portion, or we were like we were less deserving of everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, I always felt like the hostess and the waitress were.
Did you have to wash the dishes too, or did you?
I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah, the whole bit.
You did?
Oh, yeah. The bin, the rag. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was a waitress.
Were you really?
I did waitressing, yeah.
Yeah?
That's why I put myself through college.
You did well, I'm assuming?
Awesome.
Okay.
I don't understand, honestly, these servers who say, that they want to have a union and they want to combine their tips.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's like communism to me. I'm just like, what are you doing? No, I mean, I put myself through journalism school that way, worked full time. I mean, full time is like 32 hours or whatever.
Right.
So then you would just clock out and keep your tables. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to give that up.
Was this a high-end joint? Were you getting big tips?
No, it really wasn't. It was a Radisson, like McCormick's family restaurant.
Okay.
In the Radisson Hotel in Minneapolis, right by the School of Journalism there.
Right.
I think it's a great job because think about it. It's public speaking. It's physical, but it's also public speaking. You have to give them the specials. You have to deal with people, social skills. It's sales, you know, and usually in a college town or even if you're a student, people will say to you, oh, you're a student. Where do you go to school? You have, whether you're a busboy, waiter, I think it's great because you have those conversations with people and it kind of helps you formulate, oh, they're really impressed by, oh, I want to be this, or I want to do, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fantastic job for a first job.
Aaron on the YouTube chat writes, my son is a busboy and only gets tips if the waitresses and bartenders are feeling nice.
Uh-huh. I knew that dynamic existed. I always felt slighted and like I was the lesser. Like I was the deplorable of Perkins, right? Like I always got that vibe.
It's not hard to be a deplorable and Perkins.
You're right.
I'm just kidding.
I was just hoping that Tiger Woods would come in one day and maybe slip a phone number to the waitresses.
Yeah, but if they're a good waitress, you're going to tip your favorite busboy because they clear your tables first.
Right.
So, you know, you've got it all going on. You just
exactly
tip your
right.
guy. He's going to bust your table before anybody else. That means you get more tables.
Yep, indeed.
And that's how it works.
So you and AOC actually have something in common. You guys both started out as waitresses or bartenders. Now,
no, I never bartended.
Oh, so it was no alcohol.
She was just a bartender.
Okay.
You have to tip out your bar. If you're the waitress, you have to tip out the bartender, too.
Right.
Bartender's a whole different ballgame.
That's right.
Yeah. After the busboy job, I was like, I need better tips than this. So I was delivering pizzas. I got decent tips doing that.
30 minutes or less, or the pizza's free?
Oh, dude. A friend of mine, who I just saw the other day, he worked with me. We used to have, I mean, it's dangerous, but we used to have races to see who could get back faster.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, was this when you had the van for the drums?
No, I had this, like, 1994 Chevy Cavalier. It was red.
I had a Chevy Cavalier.
The doors were falling off of it. It was a horrendous car. But
does your friend have a picture of any? I mean, we got to see Stalker.
But they have no, probably not. But there's you know, that's the way you make tips.
Yes,
get it there quick, and they're like, "Wow, I didn't expect it in 10 minutes."
Think about the dynamics have shifted in 30 years. Stalker's busting and hauling ass Woo! To get a tip, and in this day and age, you leave 17%, and the servers are not happy after giving you a lackluster performance anyway. Like, that's the thing. We've done the tipping culture and where we're at in society. But again, it's like, you know, the harder you work, the faster you go, the more the quality, your food's hot, the whole bit, the more tip you get. You're not getting 20% from me just because you did your job. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're great, I'm going to give you what you get. If you stink, you're not getting the same percentage. It's amazing. This is a merit-based world we live in.
I agree, but I'm because I grew up in the tip world.
Yeah.
I always tip over the amount. And if I'm out to dinner I'm out to eat with somebody that I know might not give the best tip in the world.
Right.
I'll slip the waitress like a 10 or a 15 or a 20.
It's like my boy Mike, who's I golf with all the time. He's the biggest cheapskate on the planet.
I would pick up the tab just because I don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah, he tries to put his hand over the receipt as he's giving the tip. I'm like, what are you doing over there? Are you giving away, was that 12%? By the way, that tab was $60 and that service was good. That's got to at least be a $12 or $13 tip, pal.
Well, truthfully, you can make up for it if he just paid in cash. Because if you pay in cash, even if you pay by card for the bill, but then you tip in cash, they don't have to claim it. They only have to claim a certain percentage of their gross receipts.
Right.
So if you tip them in cash, then also the government doesn't know exactly how much they're tipped.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing.
Okay. 855-839-1210, the phone number. Bruno at 830, the cut sheet on the other side. We will get to some of these gender stories coming up after Bruno to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. Senator Bob Casey in the news when it comes to not protecting women's sports. And Richard Dreyfuss has upset fans with comments about gender at a Jaws event. We'll get to that as we continue as well. But on the other side, it is What's on the Cut Sheet. And it's coming up next here on a Wednesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on Kale & Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Speaking of hits, tips, how about a little something for the big guy if you hit on one of my FanDuel picks? Tonight, Game 5, Mavs at the Timberwolves. Mavericks favorite, a +4.5. Take the Mavericks +4.5. The NBA playoffs have tipped off, but it's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. It's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures, and so much more. There's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD, and is the official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over, present PA. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
It's 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by the good people at First Harvest Credit Union. If you have big dreams, but you do not have big funds, well, a home equity loan from First Harvest Credit Union offers flexible terms and great rates for an affordable payment to turn your dreams into a reality. Visit firstharvestcu.com. Membership restrictions apply. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA. Tony Bruno in about 45 minutes, live from Florida. But right now, 7:45, right on the dot. Let's get to What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Wednesday? Is brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. They strive to do what's right. They work hard to match you with a perfect Volvo and always go the extra mile for their customers. Judith Yosef and the entire team look forward to meeting you. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Don't forget to tell them, you heard about them on 1210 WPHT. I'm going to play this Obviously, this is meant to be commented on. That's the whole point of the cut sheet. But Dawn, I'm going to need you to hold on to your boobies.
Uh-oh.
Because...
I beg your pardon.
This... No, you hold on to your boobies.
Oh.
This person on TikTok claims... This is cut 14, Phil. Claims that men can produce milk to feed babies.
Good luck with that.
Well, he goes through scientific reasons of how men can breastfeed or produce milk, I guess, to feed children. Good God.
Is that whole milk 2%, 1% skim,
yeah,
almond?
Just going to say.
My God.
I mean, I guess it's better than the tragic story in Ohio with that slob who fed her daughter
Mountain Dew
in her bottle, and then
teeth were completely rotted out,
and then the child died at 4 years old or
right.
3 years old from like complications to diabetes.
And did you see the picture of the parents?
Yeah.
I mean,
look like
like if you told me that this is a story, guess what the parents look like?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I would anticipate the parents looking like.
Yeah. William Warner says, please reopen the asylums. I agree. Where's the Byberry Asylum when we need it?
Well, okay. they are open. They're just being opened up in Mexico, as Trump said, and all the whack jobs are coming here.
All right, Dawn, I look forward to your commentary on this individual.
Yeah.
Do you feel like these people are just doing this to troll us?
It has to be. This is now just to get a rise out of us and then label us as some sort of hater.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cut 14, Phil, go.
You know, it sounds crazy, but trans women can produce milk to feed a baby. Here's how. Step one, you must grow your coconuts.
Lucerne.
After about 3 to 5 years of estrogen, you will have fully functional milk ducts from which you can feed a baby. So once your coconuts are grown, it is time to start producing milk.
Like
now, normally getting pregnant would trigger milk production, but since trans women can't get pregnant, we must do it another way. Turns out this is not all that difficult to do. Just add a few extra hormones and supplements and pump your coconuts regularly, and you will start producing milk. I can already see the criticisms, the comments coming through. There's no way this milk is safe to drink or nutritious or healthy. But it is scientifically proven to be. The one caveat is that a trans woman might not be able to produce enough milk to feed the baby, but what is produced is healthy and can always be supplemented
milk
with
in the
formula.
Glass is
ultimately,
moving.
The act of feeding your child yourself is affirming to anyone, not just trans people. It also helps the child form a secure attachment to their parent. And for the record, I have no interest in having kids or producing milk. I just think it's cool that you can do this in the first place.
Ugh.
Is he drinking the coconut milk?
He's drinking, yeah,
God.
Some sort of...
It's like
yeah.
He's drinking a glass of glue.
Dawn, your comments, my love. But, by the way, the hormones or whatever you're pumping into your body to grow breasts, or coconuts as they call them, can that be healthy for the child?
You're asking the wrong person. I have no idea.
Like, are they going to grow up with, like, 7 heads? Like, what?
Dawn, do you care to take this guy to task?
On a serious note, I would say that by all, if you look up the studies on this,
mm-hmm.
and he does mention this to his credit, so the truth is that babies are... They rely on you if you're... I mean, I breastfed my boys.
Mm-hmm.
Until they were 19. And I know. It's like, my husband was teasing, like, hey, when he could say, hey, Mom, where's lunch? You know. But seriously, they were, a year. David was over a year. Mm-hmm. And they were big, hungry baby boys.
Yep.
So they're drinking a lot of milk.
Yep.
And they're hungry.
Yep.
And it's cruel to make them, because they have to, you know, they have to work for that. And so that means that they would have to suck harder, they would have to work harder and get less. If you look at all the studies, they say they doubt that the milk produced would ever be sufficient for a baby. And so some of these individuals say, well, this is all about the transgender woman to have the experience to chest feed. when the baby is, so it's cruel. It's actually cruel to make that baby, you know, they're sucking as hard as they can. They're getting nothing.
Working harder and getting less.
And they're a hungry baby. So
it's gross.
It's like being an adult in today's economy.
Ew. And so that's just to me, it's child abuse.
What? Trans stuff aside, what percentage? Because I'm just going to totally take a shot in the dark here.
Yeah.
What percentage of women in 2024 breastfeed today? I've got to imagine it's at an all-time low. Would be my assumption. You think most women today have their children bottle fed?
I'm looking it up. It does say if you can do it, 56%.
56%.
Well, 83%. Of babies, according to who is this? There are a couple of studies, CDC, there are a few studies I'm looking at. 83% of babies in the U.S. start out on breast milk. By 6 months of age, 56% are breastfed.
Mm.
And that one is American Academy of Pediatrics.
Okay.
But after 6 months, only about 24% are exclusively fed with breast milk.
I also wonder if that number went back up during the pandemic with the cost of, you know, formula.
And the shortages.
All yeah.
Because you save a minimum $5,000 to $6,000 a year if you breastfeed.
Is that right?
Formula's expensive.
Wow.
So I always just tell people, though, because there's this pressure, and that's why the whole issue of these individuals, and that, you know, God bless you, do what you do when you're affecting a baby. But also, I just feel, again, it's trying to take away from the miracle of life, of motherhood, that beautiful moment, you know, when you're have. And look, dads can be there right there with you. But you know what I mean? It's a beautiful thing. And only women can do that. It's a miracle of
life. Not because of hormones. Apparently dudes can do it,
no,
too.
No, but they can't. They really can't. And that's just it. No, you cannot do this.
I said little Johnny suckle on my cake.
Let me show you how it's done, Skippy.
You're sucking too hard.
Ew.
I don't think I was breastfed. I think I was bottle fed.
With Mountain Dew. That explains a lot.
No, I was bottle fed with bourbon.
Stop. If mom's so here's the thing. If you are drinking, and some women can time this to it, they have it down to a science.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are drinking, you should pump before you drink.
Pump before you drink.
Because the caffeine, booze, it all, you know, gets in their drugs, medication.
So we've got pump, we've got pound.
You wanna pound it, there's no nipple confusion.
Like a dry rub.
There's no nipple confusion. If they're hungry, they'll take the bottle, the breast. Just try to do it. It saves you money, and it's good.
Men know good nipples when they see them.
Stop.
Will Chris Hemsworth be canceled for this comment?
No.
He says that he thanks his wife, who put aside her own dreams in support of his.
Okay.
Is that like what Harrison Butker had to say?
Well, I've got a personal story I can share after this clip about women putting aside a dream for their husband.
Cut 21, Phil, go.
I would say thank you to my beautiful wife, who has been here for my entire career, basically, by my side.
Yes.
Endlessly encouraging and supportive, and it doesn't get lost upon me that she put aside her own dreams in order to support mine. And I'm, again, forever in your debt, and the fact that nothing that I do, any of these moments, the special occasions, all these events, none of it's as special without you by my side.
You know, we're living in a world where the left wants men to show more of their softer side, and then when they do and they speak and they give credit to women for their ability to put aside their career or be a homemaker, then they get vilified for that.
Yeah.
Men are under attack. And this is where we got to stand up for men here. I can give you a personal story. When I got that job offer in Nashville in 2019, my wife had been with Northampton County as a social worker for 12 years full time, 06 to 18. She got hired. She was an intern there. So she had probably been there for about 14 years. She went from like caseworker one to two to three to a supervisor. She had a great job. She worked 5 minutes from home, amazing benefits, pretty darn good salary for being a government employee. And she gave it all up for me to do sports in Nashville, Tennessee. So, you know, I give women all the credit in the world when they put aside their profession for their husbands. And by the way, I wasn't offered a ton of money to go to Nashville either, so it wasn't like a financial no-brainer. I gotta start giving these women credit, and when men speak up, I'm tired of these people getting criticized for it.
I'm not saying he is going to get criticized
for it.
Oh, but somebody
will be, right. Somebody will be hot and bothered by it. Yes.
Oh, yes. The woman has to take the back seat to... By the way, the money that Chris Hemsworth is bringing in, I would take a backseat to him. Like it's,
I would marry Chris Hemsworth for the money.
Come on. Like, it's not like, you know, he's making 60 and she's making 50. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, maybe 60 million.
Yes.
And her name's Elsa Pataky or Patake.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful Spanish actress.
They
have a couple kids. She was in Fast and Furious.
Oh, yeah.
It's a gorgeous actress.
Is she a homemaker now? And are we going to? Oh, she is. Okay.
Yeah.
I think they have two boys.
Yeah, the Fast and the Furious movies kind of jumped the shark after like the 12th one.
Dawn, Thor, your thoughts?
I love Thor. Thor, Hercules, fabulous.
It just makes me
love him.
It just makes it even better, that accent too, right?
Thank you, Thor.
Yeah. Believe it or not.
Who's sexier?
Okay.
Jason Kelsey or Thor?
Oh, God.
This is a tough contest.
Sexier? Jason Kelsey or Thor?
Because I love Jason Kelsey.
Ugh.
I'll go Thor.
Nick.
Jason Kelsey might be sexier.
I was not supposed to comment on that.
By the way, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHD if you want to watch these videos along with the audio that you're listening to over the radio or on the Odyssey app. Please hit the subscribe button and hit the like button as well. I know we always call out the media for never calling out Joe Biden's lies, but guess what, guys? There was a time not so long ago where they did. It was all within our lifetime. This was in the Wayback Machine. Let's go back to 1988 when Joe Biden originally ran for president, lost spectacularly. There was all kinds of issues about him lying about his record, his stats, his colleges, all of that stuff. The stuff he does now, but the media kind of called him out back then.
Right.
You'll see Sam Donaldson in this clip. There's a name you haven't heard in a while. Dan Rather on you know, some of those evening news broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we're going in the Wayback Machine for. Cut 20, Phil. Go.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school and, in fact, ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not three.
And took out
Joe
two
Joe Biden
loans.
Ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Jeez, he has more hair now than he did in 1988.
Oh, of course. But
another fabrication.
Hair plugs.
Yeah. Joe Biden saying he finished in the top. And by the way, bragging that you finished in the top half of your class is nothing to brag about.
But do you notice the pattern there of, my memory. Like, he was 40 years old there.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, his memory failed him, really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe whatever he's dealing with now, maybe it's slow. That was the point where it slowly started. But he is a total, he is such a fraud. About the guy.
So let me ask you guys a question. Since we've seen this pattern over the years, is it dementia or is he just lying?
I think he's a pathological liar. I think he's got it so bad that if you remember the steroid scandal in baseball and Roger Clemens, I'll never forget this, 23 years ago during those federal investigations into the steroid lab in the Bay Area. I mean, Clemens was so adamant that he never took performance-enhancing drugs and steroids that many experts were saying he sells it so adamantly that you almost start to believe it as truth from him. Like, he actually believes he never did it, even though he did do it. Like, I think that's what Joe Biden is. He takes lying as a politician to the umpteenth degree.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. It's like me saying I graduated from Nashville School of Law. It's like, dude, I was there for 90 days.
He's always been a liar. It was just that we had media in the 80s.
And this was before fact-checking became an industry.
That would call him out on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, because they didn't want him to be president at that time. You know what I mean? So, they had no skin in that game.
Wow.
Now he just turns it. Now he's Uncle Joe, who's just like, he embellishes some stories.
Wow.
Now he just turns it. Now he's Uncle Joe, who's just like, he embellishes some stories or his entire life.
It's unreal.
He embellishes his entire life.
He knows how to play the game.
A year later today,
in Philadelphia. Yeah, with Kamala on the. They were on the abortion tour. Now they're on the black tour.
Yeah. That's what they have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, they're not wrong.
No.
In trying to secure the woman vote and secure the African American vote, they see a path to victory that way, and I don't think they're wrong.
There is no bigger state of importance in this election than Pennsylvania. It's just not. You can look at it from electoral votes of 20. It's worth more than Georgia. It's worth more than Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina. And you know, it's from a polling standpoint, it's not working. It's not penetrating. But come November 5th, if they win, it will have paid off.
Well, the closing arguments for the Trump trial were heard yesterday. As both of you mentioned earlier, they were wrapped up at like 7 or 8 o'clock last night.
Eight.
The verdict will be in the jurors' hands. They're going to deliberate, I guess, starting today. What do we think, guys, as far as a timeline on when we're going to get back? I think we're going to see it this week.
Yeah, by Friday for sure. I'm hoping we get it Thursday. Gives me an easy big take for Friday.
Psychologically, because the weather is so beautiful this weekend, and it's, you know, think about the weekend. We debut with June 1st on Saturday.
Yeah.
Gorgeous weekend
degrees,
weather,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so if they were facing this cold, dreary, rainy weekend, I just psychologically, I think that all matters for the jury, that they'll say, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah. I think the sooner they come back is bad news for Trump. If they return in 35 minutes, guilty. If it's 4, 5, 6 hours, it's hung jury or not guilty. I will say this. If they do wrap it up this week, and let's just say he's found not guilty or it's a hung jury, and let's say that comes down Friday, expect Donald Trump to hit the longest tee shot of his life Saturday afternoon off the first tee box. Because if you're found not guilty and you're feeling good, or a hung jury, which is a de facto victory for Trump, you got to feel like momentum-wise, you set the tone with the first case, the other two or three that are still pending.
Yep.
Boy, that's a nice round of golf on Saturday. You're going to be feeling in good spirits.
Well, Jonathan Turley and Shannon Bream from Fox News were both at the courthouse yesterday. They joined Brett Baer last night to discuss all of this. This is Cut 23. Phil, go.
Meaning you're losing. So if you go too far down these roads, you sometimes lose jurors who think, why is there an over-explanation of all these things we've already heard about?
Jonathan, the most important thing, perhaps, is how the judge instructs the jury, what he tells them they have to do, their instructions as they head into the deliberation. Let's just say it could go either way. Obviously, it could be a hung jury, it could be an acquittal, it could be a conviction. If it is a conviction, is there an appellate process fast enough that would deal with things prior to an election?
Well, first of all, I think that of those options, an acquittal is fast moving outside the realm of possibility. I think it's just extremely unlikely. I think the choice between a hung jury and an outright conviction, I still think that this is such a weak case, one has to give a nod to a hung jury. But if there is a conviction, and that would not necessarily surprise many of us, No, I don't think that this could make it through an appeal before the election, at least to its final, to a final appeal. You can't just, I think, leap over the New York appellate system, try to get to the Supreme Court. There are many, in my view, reversible errors here. I think they're very serious. I think that Marchand is not going to be able to correct all of them in these instructions. And every indication is that, so far, is that these instructions will greatly favor the prosecution. And as Shannon said, there is a huge disadvantage in this system of having the defense go first. For most of us who don't practice here, it's almost unthinkable because it means the defense can't respond to some of these really sweeping statements, in my view, improper statements being made by the prosecutors. They will also have an advantage by going long today. They may try to run this towards 8, which means that if the drop dead date or time is 7, the last thing this jury will hear before instructions will be an hour of their closing argument. That's ideal for the prosecutors. So I think for the defense, they'd like to run this as late as necessary to keep the prosecution from getting the last word right before the instructions.
Wow, okay. So I did not know that in New York that the defense goes first in closing arguments, which is a very interesting tidbit there from Turley. Also, you know, you talk about this appeals process, and he's right. You're not going to be able to just leapfrog over other things and rise to the top of the list and be next in line, so to speak. So we've talked about this in the past, though. You know, Trump can't be in two places at once. So if this goes through the appeals process and it's not going to be done before the election, what does that mean for the other three trials? That's a question I think that needs to be answered.
I don't know that the other three trials will ever actually get underway.
Before the election,
yeah. I think this is it, and this is what they're that's why this is the pressure is on Juan Marchand. By the way, House Republican Conference Representative Elise Stefanik has just filed a misconduct complaint.
I saw that.
Against Judge Juan Marchand over the so-called random assignment. She says it was not random that he was assigned to Trump's trial.
Ooh.
And so she's alleging that this was that the fix was in.
Okay.
All right. At 8:08 here in the morning, are we all ready to weigh in on our predictions for the outcome of this?
Absolutely. I live for predictions. I say hung jury.
Nick says hung jury. Dawn Stensland.
I hope it's a hung jury.
What do you think? Not what you hope. What do you think?
What I think is that they may, out of the 34 felony counts, I think they'll come back with guilty on some of the accounts, but not all. I think that's what they're going to do. If they can come to any agreement,
yeah,
it'll be over because, you know, it's 34 counts. And so will they say, well, it looks like he must have known or he falsified, you know, at least one of those business records. That would not surprise me if they came back. And that's what nobody's talking about. They do have the option of a mixed verdict.
Yeah, I know they do. But I don't know if that's a huge possibility, though, right?
I haven't heard it discussed a ton.
No, they haven't discussed it a ton. But what I'm looking at, okay, if it's a regular jury, like somewhere in Ohio,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an acquittal. If this is a no-brainer,
sure,
right?
The politics play into this for sure.
Or Florida, or you know any other state,
right?
But it's Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
But I thought New York was Trump country, yeah. Guys.
jurors,
Where are you guys all saying that he's going to win New York? Not you guys, but you know what I mean? Like, if it's Trump country, then he should be great.
But these people live there. They know that the pressure.
He's the South Bronx, right?
They have to face. They had De Niro out there reminding them
right.
that every New Yorker knows who you are, and everywhere you go, everybody's going to remind you if you don't come back with something that's a guilty verdict.
This is why jury selection is so important. I mean, you're basically picking who your referees and officials are. You want somebody that's going to be able to referee the game and officiate it that's fair and not biased, beyond with the judge, because the judge is the ultimate referee at the end of the day. But the jury, it's in the hands of the jury. And the one thing that I think is comforting, if you are rooting for, or if you're just looking at the rule of law, and you have the belief that they have not met the burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt, there's two attorneys on this jury. I would like to think, and I know, look, Michael Cohen was an attorney, so attorneys are absolutely can be scumbags, right? And they can disregard the law, and they can have vendettas. We've seen that. I would like to think that two lawyers will sit there and say, well, you know what, in law school we were taught X, Y, and Z, and the prosecution just hasn't done enough for me to come back and say conviction.
I would, all right, so Dawn, you're saying... Why are your answers always complicated? So what's the bottom line that you're saying?
I'm saying it'll be a mixed verdict.
Okay.
That they're going to find
whatever
him.
Whatever the hell that means.
What it means is that of the 34 felony counts, I believe that this Manhattan jury will find him guilty of at least one count of something in there. They'll return a mixed bag.
Okay.
Well, he won't be fully acquitted.
So who wins tonight,
Dawn? It'll be the lesser.
Who do you got tonight, Dawn? The Phillies or the Giants?
It's this afternoon, by the way.
This afternoon at 3:45. I think the Phillies will win today. They won't get swept for three.
I am picking a guilty verdict.
All right, so you got guilty.
The guilty on all 34 counts.
Yes.
Greg is guilty, and I'm hung.
I don't think he's going to be guilty on all 34.
Well.
This legal analyst on CNN of all places, say the prosecution fell way short of proving the case against Trump. This is cut seven. Phil, go.
Randy, what Michael's getting at is the burden of proof is an important one to remind everyone. It's on the prosecution, right? They need to prove beyond reasonable doubt that Donald Trump broke the law. And you think, after listening to all of this, you think they fell short? How?
They fell way short because let's start with reasonable doubt. What is reasonable doubt? And it's not simply a doubt based upon reason. Anytime a human being needs to make an important decision in life, if you have enough information, for example, doctor says you need open heart surgery. Doc, go ahead and schedule. I don't have a reasonable doubt. Conversely, if I say, I appreciate it, but I need a second opinion. I need more information. That is having a reasonable doubt. There is reasonable doubt all over this case. Where is Keith Schiller? Where is Alan Weisselberg? How did Michael Cohen get away with stealing $30,000? Hold a pity party for him. Made $4 million on this. Thought he'd be chief of staff. He's a fixer. If the plumber comes to my house to fix my leak, I could be home. That doesn't mean I know how he's doing it and what it's taking to be fixed. Stormy Daniels, let's hold a pity party for her. Why do we need to know whether or not the former president wore a condom or not? It's simply about, did the former president know that books, his records, false entries for legal fees? Michael Cohen was his lawyer. Did he intend to cover up the election or to protect his family? It's everywhere.
That's Randy Zellin from, he's a defense attorney for CNN.
I agree with a lot of what he said. Richard Notaro says, I predict the jury will convict because you should never underestimate the hatred of Donald Trump amongst those with TDS.
By the way, everybody's saying, oh, of course Greg says he's guilty. It has nothing to do with my personal beliefs of the trial. I just think that a jury is going to find him guilty in New York City.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as simple as that.
And sadly, this is not a, robotic, computer-generated scientific process. This is 12 human beings. You know, you're judged amongst your peers, as they say. And you'd like to think that people will only look at the facts. But with human beings, sometimes people can't put feelings and emotions to the side and just view things objectively. But that's our justice system.
By the way, if they say he's not guilty on all counts, let's say they determine not guilty, that's the verdict on all 34. Under the New York Constitution, Alvin Bragg cannot retry him.
Right. Well, that would be double jeopardy, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So if it's not guilty, they can't retry him. But if it's a hung jury, they could.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going with the fact that because they have to go through each and every one of those 34 counts, it's kind of confusing because you have, did he falsify the business record by cutting the check or by going through the business receipt? I think that in there somewhere, if they really, in the back of their mind, they know this is all bogus because you would have to be an idiot not to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's why I keep thinking it's a Manhattan jury. They gotta go to their local grocery store. They gotta answer their neighbor, their whatever. I just think, I, I just think they're going to come back at least on one of those counts. There's something in there. They're going to say, yeah, he knew that he was doing such and such. So, yeah, even though maybe he didn't want to defraud, but, yeah, he was trying to cover something up. So let's just make him guilty on one of the counts.
I don't know, guys. I think the prosecution has done a good job of – not a good job, but I think they've done a job, I guess, of tying all of these together. That is really hard to say guilty on one but not guilty on another. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I can see that.
That's why I think it's going to be all or nothing. Now, the hung jury obviously is a great possibility too, mm-hmm. because can you get one or two people that that don't agree with this? Then yeah, I can see that as a possibility.
Well, I would love to be a fly on the wall for those deliberations and just hear what people are saying and who's unable to be convinced. I typically think, for the most part, and I don't know that there's a number to it, but I think, you know, most of the time that justice in this country is served, I do think most of the time juries get it right. But Greg, you illustrated, 30 years ago. I mean, OJ was as guilty as sin,
yep.
and he was found not guilty. So, you know, these things do happen. But I want to ask this question.
And that was all vendetta.
Oh, of course.
By the way, that was all vendetta. So that's why I'm saying, and yes, I know, your precedent is a case from 30 years ago. Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. But like, there's a lot of the same.
Yeah, the jury voted on a motion.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You had Mark Furman, a noted racist.
Yes. That
and the Rodney King riot.
But the better case is former Senator John Edwards, because there are a lot of similarities in that case. What was it, 2012? The jury was a hung jury on five counts of campaign finance fraud and conspiracy. Mm-hmm. It was a hung jury that came back on Senator John Edwards. I think that's the better comparison.
You know, we haven't had this conversation yet, and I don't know that we have time to do it, but I just want to bring it up because it is top of mind. What happens if he is found guilty? I mean, the reality is this. Aren't we at the point now, because we're at the point where juries are deliberating?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen in this country if he's found guilty?
They're saying, there's an article yesterday mm-hmm. saying that the Secret Service are prepping, like, jail cells.
Yeah, and I'm not
but
even...
But they have to do that.
Yeah,
that's their job.
He's not going to jail. Like, stop with this.
But Juan Merchan, who has it out for him, the 34 felony counts... I have to say it properly. He could face up to 4 years mm-hmm. behind bars.
Right.
And so this judge, and I think it's significant that Elise Stefanik filed this against the judge to say they're supposed to randomly choose the judge. She's saying there's a violation. They did not randomly choose the judge. Therefore, they did not follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
So she's filed that with the inspector general.
But I'm also wondering what happens out in free society if he's found
nothing.
Guilty.
He can still run. He can be the GOP nominee. I think.
Yeah, but I'm talking about what
they'll
what,
file the appeal.
What are citizens in society going to do?
Great question.
We had, we've learned a lot about what really happened on January 6th. Yeah, there was a few bad actors for sure, but we also know about how many feds there were potentially undercover. Ray Epps. We've seen additional footage. We've learned a lot from what the mainstream media portrayed 3.5 years later. If Trump is found guilty, how do a lot of people react beyond just, potentially voicing their displeasure, protesting? Are we going to see a repeat of this? My guess is not, because if they get what they want, they being the system and the establishment, they finally get this guy out of their hair and he's out of the political arena. But what happens if he's found guilty in any of these cases? Like, those are conversations that I think are worth having,
yeah.
because the day could come where something else happens, and we're talking about that for 4 straight hours on this show.
By the way, I'm, for all the haters on Twitter and YouTube.
Oh, they're out in full force today?
They're all after me.
They were up my butt on Monday.
I'm on record saying that all of these cases, the American people should decide the fate of Donald Trump.
Yes.
Meaning... on November What is it? Fifth?
Yeah.
Sixth?
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Absolutely.
That should be, you know, that should be the be-all, end-all of everything. Let the American people decide and be done with it. I'm just telling you what I think the outcome of this case is going to be. So don't yell at me because I can't believe you're going to say it's guilty. No, I just, in my
gut. It's a legit possibility.
That's what I think is. I think the least likely outcome is not guilty.
Yeah.
That's the least likely. I could see guilty and I could see hung jury. The least likely outcome is not guilty.
Yeah. The same people that are up your keister right now were all over me on Monday over my Memorial Day tweet.
What'd you do?
It's my mistake because it was one word. My tweet was "Happy Memorial Day to all. Thank you to all the countless selfless veterans who made the ultimate sacrifice."
You said happy. Because
I said happy. Yeah. I got lectured by 14 people. There's nothing happy about today. I'm like, I'm sorry. I said happy. Yeah.
Can I just say one thing? One more thing.
Yeah.
Stay off social media. Thank you.
I'm contemplating retirement.
Seriously.
Not from radio, but from social media.
See.
Might retire.
I honestly think we all should.
I might just hire somebody and put them on the payroll and let them handle it for me.
There's nothing good that comes out from any of your tweets.
You think whoever does Joe Biden's Twitter can do mine as well?
Jake Tapper said this. So this is, you know, I'm playing a lot of CNN. There's somebody that I'll probably play in Cutchy Part 2 coming up on NBC, who said that the defense did a very good job, and they don't know if the prosecution have proved beyond a reasonable doubt that even if they that you know he's guilty. Mm-hmm. So this is what Jake Tapper said. This is cut. Oh, where are we? 15 here, Phil. Go.
Because I don't know that they have proved beyond a reasonable doubt that even if you believe the prosecution's theory of the case, that Michael Cohen was doing this and Alan Weisselberg was doing that and McConaughey was doing this and all these people were doing all this stuff, I don't know that they've proven that Donald Trump knew.
They have not.
Yeah.
They absolutely have not. And I think
right there is the key.
Yeah.
Is the key.
Yeah, well, one of the elements is knowingly, and he did not knowingly have information.
He didn't put his fingerprints on it, to be honest.
But that's why I said, that's why I fear that they could say, well, you know, the gloat, you can't forget the gloat of the gloat, the greatest liar of all time. It was a great quote.
It was.
By his attorney, Blanche. But
he only said it about 16 times yesterday. I'm sorry. Go on.
I was at track practice, so I didn't hear him yesterday, unfortunately. But I will say that Judge Mershon, I was just looking up the other option. He could do a directed verdict and just take it into his own hands. So that can happen, too. So there is so much that could happen. I just hope they do the right thing, or I just hope there's one person. Because they have to go through the 34 counts, and all 12 jurors have to agree on each and every one of those. So I'm just hoping there's just one jury who just can't, one juror.
Could you imagine that? The outrage in this country if he takes it into down the direction of a directed verdict, knowing what we know about this judge?
Yeah.
Why don't you just come out and say, I'm biased, right?
Wendy writes, Greg, it's fine you say guilty. You are 95% wrong on most things. Okay. That's cute, but I was right in 2020. I was right in 2022. I was right in 2023. Can everybody on the show agree that I was right with all three of those things?
Since I've been here, you've been fairly accurate.
So thank you, Wendy.
Maybe you can replace Frank Luntz and James Carville.
By the way,
any aspirations to be a pollster?
Like, this isn't sports radio. We're like predicted outcome. Predict like it's. I don't know any more than you guys do. I'm just giving you my opinion. Jesus. By the way, Bree writes, if not for social media, I would not know about this show. So thank you. So there you go.
Oh, so there is some benefit.
There is one person who knows about the show because of social media.
So she's defending Nick.
About doing the...
Right?
Yeah.
About retiring?
No, that we need to stay on social media.
She was defending you because Greg said stay off social media.
Yeah. A lot of people out there don't like social media.
I will point out that I think Representative Elise Stefanik, I love that she filed that complaint against the judge because it does put him on notice that today when they come in, he has to give his instructions to the jury. And those instructions are critical. And so he knows in the back of his head going in that they have watchdog groups, that he will be under review.
Yeah.
And he's under the microscope. Does that change things? Does it make him put him back on the rails a little bit? We hope. But his instructions are critical as far as what the jury believes that they're allowed to consider, not consider. And then, so today's Wednesday. Can they really get this done? Let's say they get it after lunchtime. You know what I mean? So you have the rest half of Wednesday, then Thursday, then would it be Friday night?
Right. It's a good question.
That's tough.
Yeah, I believe that it'll probably be like a 2 o'clock Friday.
A news dump?
2 o'clock Friday, I think. That's what I'm predicting.
This is such a big story. I don't know that you could do it at any time where it would be deemed a news dump, right? I mean, if they did it at 7:30 on Friday night, like the whole world might, like, because we can't get off social media, people would know right away.
It's one of the benefits of being live and local. Now all day long, by the way.
Yeah, so it could. So will it happen? Yeah, well, I think maybe it would happen at the end of the Dom show or during the Zioli show on Friday.
I think 2 o'clock. I think it'll happen.
You think it'll happen 2 o'clock?
Yeah, around 2 o'clock. Yeah.
On Friday.
Yeah.
By the way, what time are we live and local till now?
All day.
So that's
24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. Well, not local, but we're live 24 hours a day.
In a day and age where not many stations are doing that anymore. Or as much as they used to be. It's pretty good. It's good work out of us.
Yeah. Thank you.
My old Nashville station just whacked another local show and threw on a syndicated show. Great job. That'll work out.
While other radio stations are cutting people
and
cutting shows, we're adding.
Yeah.
So
for everybody that was fearful out there, just relax. We're good. We're gold. We're great.
We should break so we can get time for Tony Bruno.
I'm going to make that on a shirt. We're good, we're gold, we're great.
Yeah. But we're not the gloat.
But we're not the gloat.
There's only one gloat.
That's right. And there's only one goat, and his name is Tony Bruno. Woo! And he's down in Florida right now getting ready. He's probably got his headset on. He's got either a Frank Rizzo shirt or a Philly shirt on.
I can see him. He does have his headset on.
I knew he would.
Why don't you guys put him up on the YouTube screen and just have him wave? Can you do that?
That's my favorite version of Bruno. A Bruno I can see. I just don't have to hear.
There he is. He's there he is.
Look at him.
There
he is. He's waving. He's like Fetterman. Good night, everybody.
All right. We'll do this way. On the other side?
Yeah, we'll do that on the other side. Do I have some bills to pay here myself?
I'm doing this.
I'll let you handle it.
NBA playoffs have tipped off, but it's not too late to get in on the action with FanDuel in partnership with the Valley Forge Casino. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to use on same-game parlays, live bets, championship futures. I said I'm taking the Mavericks tonight, game 5, plus 4.5. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Greg to get started. FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD and the NBA. 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
I'm not sure if he's at the bar, and I don't think he has a guitar, but he has a mic, and he's internationally known on the microphone. He's the great Tony Bruno, and he's brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group, where you can explore the most desirable luxury SUVs with the Defender, which we were just in last week for Kale Pool Karaoke, the Discovery, the Range Rover models, all of them today. Schedule a test drive, Land Rover, Willow Grove, Westchester, Harrisburg, or Wilmington. To find yours today, Tony Bruno looks like he's in summer vacation mode. Tony B, I'm digging that shirt today, brother. How are you?
Thank you. I'm in vacation mode, but we have a wreck. I think Pete Buttigieg was correct when he went on CBS and talked about seven supercharging stations built on $7 billion, and it will be done in 100 years if at this pace. But here we're having a record heat wave, and I believe climate change is real, and I'm enjoying it by going outside, drinking a lot of water, sitting out, working on my tan, and watching my house being built. So there's your recap of what happened here in Southwest. And seriously, we're talking in temperatures in the 90s for like 10 consecutive days, and that's just the temperature. With the humidity, it's going to feel like it's in the 100. So don't come, as Joe Biden once said, or stop, or don't. Just use the variety of don't or don't come. Don't. A lot of people are leaving now. They're going back to Minnesota, where it's where this weather's normal. But I'm going back to Wildwood. I think if the Trump jury finds him guilty, there will be rioting in Sea Isle, Ocean City, and Wildwood this weekend.
Yes, indeed. So you've been obviously paying attention to this story and obviously this case. We just went on the record. We gave our predictions. Greg has a guilty verdict. I have a hung jury. Dawn has a lot of nuanced and context behind her opinion of some guilty on some verdict, but not others. Right now, your best guess, your best gut feeling, what are you feeling right now? Do you think they come back hung jury, acquittal, or conviction?
First of all, I think we should, and I'm not a guy who likes to cancel things or ban terms. The term hung jury is offensive to me. You know, William Hung, is he going to come out and sing, she bangs, she bangs?
Stop.
When the hung jury happens? Why is it called a hung jury? Nobody's hung.
Well, they're hung
seriously,
up.
Does anybody explore, any legal minds out there exploring what exact, why it's called a hung jury?
It's a good point. I'm going to try to send Jonathan Turley a text during the next commercial. I'm going to need some explanation on that one, sir.
Get Michael Cohen on the line. Yeah.
Get Michael Cohen on the line, indeed. So
Dawn makes a good point, because the question is, you know, there's only one charge that matters, but there's 34 of them. And I agree. I think when this clown judge starts giving the jury instructions today, he's going to talk about taking each individual charge. And if they get him on one charge, then he would be a convicted felon. And that's what the Democrats are hanging their hats on. By the way, how about that De Niro thing? What De Niro looked like yesterday, remember Taxi Driver? I think it was his first big movie.
You looking at
his
me?
Name was Travis Bickle. He played a character, a deranged cab driver in New York City, who was absolutely insane, right? I mean, the guy, and he kept saying, he was a paranoid freakazoid who was an idiot. And now Bob De Niro, all these years later at age 80, has gone back to being the character in Taxi Driver, Travis Bickle. The guy is criminally insane. And then decency is on the ballot, we heard, right? Meanwhile, he's out there saying F you. And that's the one thing I think the biggest story of this whole thing is. Trump doesn't criticize Biden's voters. De Niro and all these other lowlifes who are just typically deranged, really sick minds, like Bobby De Niro. By the way, you see all the pictures people are posting of his platform shoes that he wears in all these movies?
Yes.
Bob De Niro's he's a scrawny little, and the fact that he's calling people gangsters when his whole career has been on gangsters. I mean, who's done more gangster movies than Bobby De Niro? What a schmuck. I can't think of one. What a malook. What a mook. What a stunab. What a strapper. And what a gangster.
By the way, I'm on record saying weeks ago, months ago, that I always felt like he was an overrated actor.
Well, yeah, everybody's saying that now, that Pacino's the far better actor than De Niro after yesterday's.
I was ahead of the curve on that.
You were.
Add that De Niro was arrested in Paris several years ago, for international sex ring with underage girls and stuff.
I saw that.
I mean, it was this was sort of swept quietly under the carpet over here in the United States.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that floating around yesterday as well.
But again, back to the jury. I think De Niro. I think that if the jury's going to go one by one, and that's what they do. Mm-hmm. There's 34 counts, right?
Yep. Yes.
And
that's correct.
The main one is what the prosecution did in its 8-hour summation yesterday. That the poor jurors at 8 o'clock last night were finally sent home, and today they'll go into these deliberation room. And they're, you know, when they're in deliberations, they don't get to go home. Mm-hmm. So I think they want to get out of here.
Yeah.
Yesterday was like a marathon.
Right.
But I think some of the things said in last night's final summation, closing arguments by the prosecution, is that this jury is bored. They want to go home. And so it depends on how long, and the two lawyers are the key, you know, if they say this is all ridiculous. But I think Dawn is absolutely dead on this. If they go down charge by charge, and there's 34 of them, and they get Trump on only one of them, then technically you can say he's a convicted felon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Democrats will do. And then Joe Biden, and the thing about Joe Biden making a live announcement as soon as this happens, is it's even more ridiculous than sending De Niro and those cops. Those are the kind of cops that that Philly DA Larry Krasner would go after and put in jail.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of cops that Larry Krasner likes, the bad cops, right? Well, no, actually, he's supposed to go after those guys. He goes after good cops, but he leaves the bad cops alone. And those two clowns showing up yesterday, I mean, it was just a joke. By the way, people are wondering about the one guy with a little mustache who was seen with Sam Bankman-Fried and also as a bodyguard yesterday. Well, he's an actor who's also a former police department official, and he's paid to be a guy who handles crowd control. So he was there at the Sam Bankman-Fried jail thing when he took him out. And he was there yesterday with De Niro because he appeared in a De Niro movie.
Yeah, he was standing right over his left shoulder, right? I knew that
he's
face
like a
looked
high
familiar.
Paid, he's a high-paid, not bodyguard, but a guy to make sure everything's under control. So people are wondering why they keep seeing that guy.
Yeah.
He's an actor, and he's also a former police, and he's a high-paid private detective personal bodyguard.
Okay. I'm going to have to get that guy's name because I saw that guy's face yesterday. And I'm like, man, that face looks familiar. So I'm glad you pointed that out.
I looked him up, too. I forget his name now, but he's a guy who's an actor, former cop, and now a very high paid. He's a, what do they call it? High income asset. Mm-hmm. Oh, he protects high income assets.
Ah, gotcha. Tony Bruno.
By the way, De Niro was great in Bronx Tale. That was
he
the
was.
I agree with Patty Burks.
That's a great movie.
That movie where he was not a thug. That's right. The only movie I can remember De Niro being in.
He's a good
where
guy.
Where he's not a gangster.
Yep.
Calling other people gangster may be the dumbest move of his career.
Well, and Tony, the worst part is you're 80 years old, you're 5'3", and you're walking around New York like a tough guy. By the way,
with a mask on.
Yeah, and did you see the zoom in of his feet? He had boots on. Where I swear he raided DeSantis' closet and took Ron's boots. You need to send Robin over there to the governor's mansion and see if she can look around in the closet and see if DeSantis is missing a pair of boots.
No, he wears the white ones, and that's what you wear down here when you're in a storm situation as we brace for hurricane season down here in Southwest Florida.
Exactly right. Tony Bruno joining us as he does each and every Wednesday here on Kale & Company. I've got a bunch of other stories I want to get your thoughts on. Let me start with a couple of people that have been canceled, and then we've got one good comeback story. Let me start with this. Charles Barkley is probably not having the best of days these days. His show on CNN with Gayle King gets canceled. And now, of course, you've got the whole thing with the NBA on TNT and how Comcast and NBC and Peacock are coming in and they might take away the broadcast rights. And Barkley is going off on CNN executives for the way it was released to the media that show with Gayle King that nobody in America watched ended, saying that we were not canceled, that this was a short-term show anyway, and he'd be going back to basketball in the spring. But the reality is this, Tony Bruno, whether he was canceled or it was a short-term experiment, it was a failed experiment. And nobody wanted to tune in for his political views on CNN because nobody's watching that network, period.
Yeah, and the bottom line, by the way, this was on the Mike Miscellaneous podcast, I guess.
Yeah.
That's where he went on. And, you know, Charles and Mike have a good relationship. So he went on Mike's show. And let's be honest, you can tell because every time you see Charles on TNT, which is the best pregame, halftime, and postgame show in recorded history, nobody does it better. And if the NBA on TNT, which is now part of Warner Brothers Discovery, and that's why he's ripping them, if they let that show go away or break that team up, that will be the biggest blunder in broadcasting history. There's no better team, no better chemistry. That's must-watch TV, even though these NBA playoffs have been unwatchable.
Yep.
You know, with Eastern Conference and the Western Minnesota got a game in. But let's be honest, this has been the worst conference finals I can remember as far as intrigue or wondering what's going to happen. I mean, you know, Boston's walking through Indiana. The Knicks fans are still upset. The Rangers almost won last night, but Florida won. The bottom line is Charles Barkley's right. And what I love about Charles, and I did the same thing when I was at WIP in the early days in 1990 on the morning show, I ripped Xfinity Broadcasting for some of their decisions. And Charles is ripping Warner Brothers Discovery / TNT, which runs CNN, which runs the Discovery Channel, and which runs all of the things that they're ruining right now because they're trying to make everything. I don't know what they're trying to do, but Charles Barkley's right. And I agree with him taking on his bosses because he's got the power to take on his bosses.
Right.
He's got the power to show that These people are cretins. These are the people that will pay him, and they have to pay him to keep him on that show because it's the best show on sports television. So now he's getting into a situation where he's got a contract, and they're trying to screw him over on his contract. And he's been saying lately, oh, I can't wait for this to get over, so I have my 4 months off. He's telling his bosses, you know what? You're treating us like garbage, so screw you, as De Niro said to those gangster fans who he went after. He goes after the fans. That's the best part. De Niro goes after fans and calls them gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, because the guy was wearing a MAGA hat, so he's a gangster. Tony Bruno with us. This story is right in your wheelhouse. When I saw this one, I'm like, if there's one man I need to have somebody opine on for 2 minutes with this story, it's Tony Bruno. A high school broadcaster was caught on a hot microphone talking dirty to soccer moms as he's broadcasting a soccer match. Awful Announcing has identified this announcer as Toby Moore, who was working for the NFHS Network streaming service during
I once worked weekends there. It's a great operation, let me tell you.
We'll give you $50 a game, Mr. Bruno, and we will stream it, and you can retweet it. So he's doing this. It's a third place. So it's not even for the gold medal or first place. It's a third place match between Rose Hill and McPherson in the Kansas Class 4A state championship tournament. And this is broadcasting 101.
Who did Greg have in that? Who was the
who's
favorite?
My FanDuel. Yeah, my FanDuel pick.
Soccer had Rose Hill for the draw at +225. So, I mean, you know, even as a high school broadcaster, you always have to assume your microphone is hot. Never say something that can get you in trouble when you're around a microphone. So, see, he says the following at the 3 minute mark of the soccer match. Quote, a bonus, though, of calling high school soccer. Girls soccer for high school is the soccer moms. And he's on a hot mic saying, F yeah, baby, up top, baby. Moore says about soccer moms, the ones that's facing us. See if she can tear it the F off. I can see the legs, but I can feel the you know what from here. This guy, I mean, I'm not for canceling people, but when you're in this spot, I don't know how you salvage your. This might, I mean, let's be real. If this was a Major League Baseball broadcaster, Tony Bruno, this guy probably loses his job, much less high school soccer.
But this guy's pretty notable. He's been on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh,
so
really?
This guy's not just some little shrinking violet dude doing women's soccer. And by the way, we do it all the time. We watch soccer games. When I would go to Little League games with my kids, who doesn't check out the hot moms?
Well, that's why you wear sunglasses.
It used to be the Little League moms. Then soccer moms became the big thing. You know, you wanted to see who was coming out of that minivan, out of that Chrysler. What was the upscale? Because they had the Plymouth.
The Chrysler Town and Country. The Town and Country.
Wasn't the Honda minivan?
Was the creme de la creme of what do you call them? What do we call those things?
Chrysler minivan? I don't know. I thought it was
the soccer moms would throw their kids in there. And they
I call it the Honda
there.
Odyssey minivan.
Courtesy of the Piazza Auto Group.
That's exactly right.
Watch the tram car.
No, that's what they were saying. They watched the thug car, what they were saying in Wildwood last weekend on the boardwalk. But I digress. So anyway, I love this guy is speaking for all of us. And again, who's listening to a soccer game?
Nobody.
On some fringe network.
On a streaming service.
You know, this isn't like Kale and Company where the whole world's listening.
Yeah, baby.
This is a fringe little soccer tournament where if this guy, by the way, it wasn't even live, I don't think.
Right.
I think
somebody,
it was taped.
Somebody recorded it and then posted it.
Exactly.
Oh, somebody set him up.
Yeah, they wanted to cancel him.
The B set him up.
As the great former mayor and then was reelected of Washington, D.C. Remember the mayor who got caught with hookers and blow? Bitch set me up.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody set this guy up, and now he's going to be. I think this guy's going to move on to bigger and better things because you know, as and the movie Dazed and Confused, as the great lead character said with his friend, you know what they say about them high school girls, man. We keep getting older, and they stay the same age, man.
Matthew McConaughey.
That's right. Caravans.
Come with you. That's creepy. That is a creepy statement.
Yeah, Robin, tell him.
I didn't make that. I'm quoting a movie, Robin.
Spanking machine, Dawn and Robin. Handle this.
Stop quoting it.
Everybody checks out soccer moms.
Yes.
Why do you think they wear those tight tops? Why do you think they're wearing, you know,
yoga pants?
Provocative clothing. They're not there to watch their kids. They don't even know what's going on the field in soccer games.
Well, soccer is hard to
analyze. Kids run around. And when my kids were playing soccer at a young age up in Lower Gwynedd, you know, I would check out the moms.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the kids are running into each other. Nobody knows what's going on. You just worry about one of the kids running over another kid and having to take your kid to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
You're there to check out the moms. Where do you think the term wood came from? W-O-U-L-D, not W-O-O-D.
Exactly.
Wood.
I have an admission.
Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
When my son was playing soccer,
yeah,
I was very proud of the fact that I became MILF status.
Exactly.
So I admit it. I think that there's a lot of other women out there who, when they hear that they were called a MILF, they're like, all right.
It's a badge of honor, Robin.
And yeah. By the way, cameraman, crow fishing writes, and how do you fish for crow? Crow fishing says the cameraman in all sports games, they focus on the hotties.
Yeah, of course.
If you watch a live feed, you know, and you get access to a live feed where they don't, when they go to the commercials, they still leave the feed up and the announcers are in there. They cut the mics because that's where we got a lot of good content, right?
Yep.
From broadcasts where the feed was on and somebody was rolling on it at home and then they'd play it back. Let's be honest. What cameraman at a baseball game, especially in the summer when all the tank tops are out, you know, all the people are all getting all juicy and loosey and goosey. The bottom line is they always check out. What do you think they're looking for?
Yeah. Exactly.
They're looking for hot chicks.
Yep.
They're looking for people making out. Like when I was a kid, I'd go to Wildwood not to go rumble on the boardwalk. I'd go under the boardwalk to make out with some hottie. Now, this is when I was a teenager,
right,
and there were other teenagers. And instead of going on the boardwalk and causing a ruckus, we go under the boardwalk. As the great song once said,
yes,
under the boardwalk. And by the way, there's a show on TV called MILF Manor.
Yeah.
Is that right? Ooh,
that's how the world has changed. I haven't seen it yet. Is it any good, MILF Manor?
Probably get better viewers than CNN does, that's for sure. Take that to the bank.
Not many MILFs on CNN. There's a couple,
nah.
But for the most part, they're
just angry.
They're strappers.
Exactly.
Can we call women strappers, too, or is it just guys?
You better be careful, Tony. That might get you canceled these days. But one guy that will not get canceled is anybody in the UFC, because under Joe Rogan and Dana White, they value free speech. And I thought this story was very fascinating, because we are certainly living in a day and age where parents are looking at school choice. There's a story in Politico. We'll probably get to this later this week. About how successful DeSantis has been with school choice, so much so in the state of Florida that public schools are starting to close up because nobody's going to them. But Bryce Mitchell is a UFC featherweight, and he just had a newborn son, and he has come out and declared that his newborn son will be homeschooled and also avoiding any vaccinations. He says the following, quote, "I want to encourage everyone not to vaccinate your children because I think it's bad for their health, potentially kills them, gives them some type of ... makes them autistic." And then he says he also does not want his child to end up in public schools. From the public school standpoint, Tony, you can talk about this because you're down in Florida with DeSantis in that state, how successful this has been. You know, I don't tell parents what to do when it comes to vaccinating their child or anything like that, but the school choice thing seems to be very popular where it's offered, and I think there's going to be a lot of people that pick up on this in the coming years.
No, you're totally right. And I remember back in the day when we watched the spelling bee contest, and we would make fun of all these Indian kids who were smarter than everybody else and would sit at home and study. Remember, oh, they're homeschool kids. They have no lives. Well, our kids now have no lives because they were stuck inside for a couple of years during the pandemic. And now people are realizing that the only people benefiting for the most part from the school situation is the leaders of the teachers' unions. The teachers aren't being paid. The teachers' unions are taking all the money and then giving it to political parties, mostly to the Democrats. And so I think a lot of people are seeing the light of day. And that's why here in Philadelphia, up there in Philadelphia, here in Florida, you know, the teachers' unions are the scourge of America, because we saw what they did to our kids, and they wanted the schools shut down. They didn't even want their teachers to go back to class. They wanted everything done remotely. But the remote thing, I think, exposed the teachers' unions for what they are and how they keep indoctrinating kids. No, Ruben Amaro's wife is not on MILF Manor. Come on.
Oh.
Is that true? I don't think so.
Not that I know of. Although I do see Ruben from time to time when I'm walking out of here at 10 o'clock going back into the parking lot.
Yeah, I love Ruben.
He's always down the hall a couple of days a week. Speaking of the Phillies, let's wrap with this. We got about 30 seconds left. Two in a row they've lost to the Giants. We're talking about the Phillies. They've lost four of the last five. Just a little regression to the mean. You have to assume that this team was going to cool off a little bit, right?
Yeah, and the Giants are playing great. They were horrible at the end of the year. People in San Francisco were going crazy. Now the Giants have put it together. They were ripping Bob Melvin, who used to coach the A's and now coaches the Giants. You know, it happens. Teams get hot. But the Phillies are stone cold right now, and I don't mean good stone cold. I mean bad. They've gone, the entire team now has shut down. They've gone into operation shut. It's not even June yet, because normally they talk about the June swoons.
Yeah.
But right now the Phillies are lifeless. They're out on the West Coast. They went to Colorado and got swept. And so this happens in a long season. So everybody was going crazy. You know that the Phillies now have cooled off because the local sports stations are now doing Eagles 24/7. Let's get it back to the Eagles, Nick. Stop talking about the Phillies now until they go on another hot streak or to the All-Star voting. Bottom line is, it's not football talk yet, fellas, or ladies, or gentlemen, or moms and dads. It's still baseball season and whatever's left of this Stanley Cup and the NBA. NBA has become unwatchable now. I'm sorry.
Tony, are you trying to say you don't miss May NFL talk where you're breaking down a guy in shorts and a T-shirt running patterns against no defense?
No, Tuesday morning, right? We come back from Memorial Day weekend, and I look on my Twitter feed is still... And by the way, they charged me $8 for my account that they canceled.
Yeah, are you still whacked on both feeds, by the way?
Yeah, so I get a notice yesterday in my email. We have just taken $8 out of your account for your account so you can be verified. How am I verified if my account is inactive? They took away all my follows, all my followers, and people I follow. I'm down to 00, and yet they still charge me $8 because I was getting money from Twitter, like $60 every couple of months, and now they're still charging me when they shut me down.
It's an outrage.
I need to get Trump's lawyer on here. I need to get Judge Mershon to sit on my behalf and condemn Twitter for taking money despite suspending my account and banishing me once again into obscurity.
You need to hire Todd Blanche and Elena Haba.
Well, Elena Haba can represent me any day, as long as it's outside poolside at Mar-a-Lago, which is only about a two-hour drive from where we're sitting right now.
All right.
And by the way, if Trump's acquitted, I may take a ride to Mar-a-Lago this weekend.
Yeah?
I may jump in the family truckster and head on out there and join the big party at Mar-a-Lago this weekend. It's going to be off the chains, off the charts, off the heezy fo-sheezy.
My God. All right, get out of here. Great shirt, great segment. I love you, brother. Enjoy the Phillies day game today.
See you, Tony.
It's not the heat. It's the stupidity that will get you all the time.
Exactly right. Tony Bruno live from Florida each and every Wednesday. To say he was ready to go today would be the understatement of the year. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to a big three from Dawn, and then I'm going to get to this Bob Casey story, as well as Richard Dreyfuss upsetting fans with gender comments. More people triggered over facts and opinions and free speech. It's the final hour of Kale and Company, and it's coming up next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I hope you're feeling good, especially with the weather warming up. What a beautiful weekend in store as we begin June 1st on Saturday, 80 degrees. You got to get out and enjoy this summertime weather. But what if you can't? What if that joint pain is stopping you, preventing you from getting out there and living your best life? This is the best time for being outdoors, but not if your knees or maybe your shoulders, your back. What about your hips? If they're just aching, don't suffer any longer. You don't have to because of non-surgical joint pain relief. It's here at QC Kinetics. Call my friends at QC Kinetics today, the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. And I'm talking lasting joint pain relief. No surgery, no drugs, no downtime. QC Kinetics advanced treatments harness your own body's ability to restore and, yes, repair that damaged joint tissue so that you can walk, run, hike, play golf, play frisbee with the dog, the kids on the beach, whatever it is, but it's all pain-free. You are good to go with QC Kinetics. They're under the leadership of former orthopedic surgeon Dr. Mitchell Scheinkopf. So he's a true pioneer in regenerative medicine. Check him out. They have advanced protocols enabling tens of thousands of patients, so many of you reclaiming your mobility. Maybe you thought that's not possible. It is. Just call QC Kinetics now. Get a free consultation. 215-993-000, 215-993-000. 888-999-3000. QC Kinetics, 215-999-3000. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.